Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
October 2020 is the SUS DEI memo.
Right.
Her op-ed comes out in the PNJ right around that same time, you know, within days. And at that point, you're saying you're so proud of the diversity efforts of the university. And it seemed to be that your position then was you supported that what may have been the SUS policy at the time, that you were proud of diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. You just said to me a minute ago that now you support the current SUS policy. And so I'm just wondering where your professional judgment is and has changed when equity had been a core value of the university until just a couple years ago. Now it's not. I'm just having a hard time understanding where you really stand.
Well, I can assure you I'm going to stand in compliance and support with the state university system. My personal feelings are one thing, but, you know, we're a state university.
Yeah, so Martha Saunders answering a very pointed question by Adam Kissel, one of the, you know, barely on the UWF board anymore because he has been declined by the Senate. He can only stay there for 45 more days. Somebody who I've said before, I supported him to be on this board. I think he's the one that I would actually like to see on there. And I still think that, but this line of questioning bothered me. There were other reasons why I like him on this board. We'll get to that maybe in a bit. But what he's basically saying is, look, you know, the university used to be pro-diversity, equity, and inclusion. Now it's not. What gives? What's your real position? And her answer, and it's the right answer, is I work for the government. I represent what the government tells me to represent. I am the administrator. You know, I don't have the luxury of implementing my own views. That's literally what we have a board of trustees for.
As these priorities change, we change with them. I think the Board of Governors has done a wonderful job of developing a new strategic plan, and we are going to comply with that.
So again, if you're just joining this conversation, this was an ambush meeting where several of the appointees by Governor DeSantis just suddenly decided that after they had gotten their confirmation, or in Adam Kissel's case, not gotten their confirmation, it was time to unleash on her what looks very clearly like a coordinated effort to oust her. You know, is the governor actually telling them to do this? Is the governor using resources to provide them with information and evidence in order to be able to more effectively do this? All questions to be answered. You know, is this being done at the direction of Governor DeSantis? Again, I mean, you can reconcile all the facts in this meeting with that allegation. That doesn't mean it's true, but it sure looks that way. And all the observers I have paid attention to have that same opinion, that they are clearly trying to get rid of her, that this is clearly the goal. For what purpose? Well, I've heard all kinds of speculation, but okay, back to the actual conversation. Again, Adam Kissel pressing her on, well, if you believed in diversity, which she wrote an op-ed in, or, you know, opinion piece in the PNJ about, you know, celebrating an award she had gotten from on diversity for what the university had gotten an award for. And, you know, well, which is the real you, Martha, is what he's getting at. And her answer so far has been, well, the real me isn't really the job. The job is to do whatever the Board of Governors and the Board of Trustees tell me to do and what the law requires.
If your personal views don't mesh with your professional views and judgment, you know, I was, a bunch of people watched me stand for the courage of my convictions just a couple weeks ago. And I'm wondering, like, did you push back on SUS or the board saying, I don't think that this should happen? Like, did you stand up for your convictions as some of these changes were happening?
So he's saying when I went in front of the, you know, the Senate, I told him what I believed and I defended what I believed. If you were opposed to diversity, why didn't you oppose it? And if you are in favor of diversity, why aren't you pushing back now? Why aren't you brave like me? Yeah, I do not love this line of questioning, right?
I don't understand that question.
Oh, so on the premise that you were proud of DEI before, and you publicly said so, and now you're saying, at least in your professional judgment, you're supporting the current SUS policy, which is, I'll just say, the opposite of that, which are inconsistent. You have personal views either on one side or the other, I suppose. And so you either didn't stand up for your convictions then, or you're not standing up for your convictions now. And I would just like to understand a little bit better, are you pushing back when you disagree with the SUS?
I do not disagree with the SUS, and I think we're talking about a lot of different things.
And she's going to go on to explain this because she does believe in diversity. She just doesn't believe in it in the narrow sense that it often gets used.
As far as my personal opinion and professional opinion about diversity, I think it's a good thing. And I don't mean just diversity in race or gender. I believe in diversity of thought, geographical diversity. I think there are a lot of elements of diversity that make a lot of sense.
And so what she says is, look, my job is to administer the rules. What my personal view sometimes doesn't matter. You know, as an administrator, right? I get told kind of what we're doing. Now, I think there's a relevant question to be asked about what somebody's personal beliefs are, maybe. But this notion of you weren't brave to stand up then, or you're being unbrave to not stand up now, I mean, it's over a line. It's inappropriate. Now, it follows on the attack line of questions that was brought by Zach Smith, who is on the PSC board and has now also been added to the UWF board pending Senate confirmation or denial. Zach, who I think has shown his true colors now and is really should not be on this board at all. In fact, I wouldn't want him on either board now, based on what I've seen. Just because there's no diplomacy, no tact, there's no willingness to really work with somebody, it's an effort to oust her. And I actually think he said some things that sound like lies to me. That sound very disingenuous to me. So, and I like talked about that last hour. We'll come back to this in a second because we're almost to where it gets really interesting. I'm like, yeah, more interesting than this. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Let's see here. No accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly, not seeing any delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Susan James, who is on the board, she's the faculty senate president, so she's an instructor at UWF, and she represents the faculty. And she says,
thank you, Chair Matthews. I know you've gone to great lengths to plan an agenda for today, and I hope that we can get back on the agenda.
Can we get on track, please?
You know, all of you have spoken about the strengths of our university.
Praised it.
And, you know, we're talking about drag shows where these are student organized. You know, we don't control what students organize. We don't control their social media. We have events at our university that are open dialogue, and we present all sides.
Now, one response to that in part is that apparently portions of the university had been in support of some of these events, so it's not purely student-led, but I totally agree with her. Can we get on track?
You know, I would hope that we are all working together to solve the problems that are really important, and we started off that way, but now I feel like we're veering off in a way that's not being productive.
And also, didn't you guys go in front of the Senate hearings and tell them how great the university was and all the great work we were doing, which they did? And she called them on it, and rightly so. Like, you told them once, I mean, you're attacking the university for this boilerplate language about social justice and having a different program, and you're raising questions about what's the real university. Well, what's the real trustee? The trustee who was obsequious in front of the Senate and telling them what they needed to hear so that you could get confirmed, or the one who's now here attacking Martha Saunders with these mildly and or ridiculously outrageous claims? I mean, which is the real you? Fair question.
I'm a pretty unsettled by the way this direction is going. And Chair Matthews, I ask that we get the discussion back to what we were talking about.
And by the way, Rebecca Matthews, her response is, well, this is general discussion. Remember, she's one of the new appointees, too, and she is now the chair now that Scott Yenner is out. But, you know, I was kind of waiting to see what would happen in this meeting, and the real conflict came out between existing, like, prior member Alonzi Scott, who I like Alonzi a lot. Okay, I don't know him. I never heard of his name even before we started paying attention to this for a couple of months now. But I don't think I would agree with Alonzi all the time. He does, like, the Office of Naval Research. He works with them. Good guy, smart guy. And here's what he said. Because remember, I haven't played you the clips this hour, but last hour I played you all the clips from Chris, from Zach Smith, who was really this prosecutorial kind of line of attack questioning about Martha Saunders and a couple of very particular events in the past.
Matthews, I'm in agreement with Dr. James, and so I'm going to reserve my comments because, you know, some of the new trustees have made some comments here that I find quite offensive. And I don't think we're heading in a very productive way in any sense. I see one trustee ambush our president. I'm not very happy about that, Trustee Jack Smith, at all, because that's essentially what I see you doing. I've read your book, Rogue Prosecutors, and how radical stories lawyers are destroying American communities. And I can tell you, you're about as radical as I've seen in any place I've ever been. So if you're going to continue to try to intimidate the president or anyone else on this board, that's not going to go well.
Go, Lonzi. Go, Lonzi. Zach Smith's response.
Look, I appreciate the comments from everyone today. Certainly my intention is not to ambush Dr. Saunders or anyone else. And I would say I think we can disagree and do it respectfully. And that's certainly my goal here today. But I think it is important to ask some hard questions sometimes, some uncomfortable questions. And I'm perfectly happy. And I would appreciate hearing Dr. Saunders' reasoning or response to why some of these programmings were allowed to go forward. And
if your purpose was to understand and to get context or explanation, you would have asked her in private. You would have sent an email, or you would have made a call, or you would have scheduled a meeting. These are the things I see on our social media. Can you explain how these happen and what the policy is around protecting various student interest groups, balance of perspective, whatever? That's how you would have approached it and given her a list that she could work on, B, time to become familiar with things that she might not even know and said she didn't even know, and then look for an explanation. When you come in front of the whole board and the whole world and, you know, teams and everybody, and you grill her like she's a defendant in an effort to make her look uninformed, stupid, part of the problem, you did not have the agenda of just being curious and asking questions. No chance. That's not how somebody who's trying to functionally make the system work better behaves. I'm sorry. I consider that a lie. I'm not ambushing her. You were absolutely ambushing her. Now, the real question is, were you ambushing her at someone's direction, the governor's direction? I don't know. By the way, the governor can talk to the Board of Trustees. The sunshine only prohibits them from talking to each other. He can't serve as an intermediary between them, but the governor can call them, just like the mayor can call city council members and talk to them about his agenda. That is allowed. Now, I suspect that some people are going to be doing some public records requests around this because they're going to be curious to know how much of the direction the governor is involved in all of this, but this was clearly designed to, I mean, my read, okay, watching this whole meeting, was they want to get rid of Martha Saunders, and this is the first stage. This is the first assault. We'll see what comes next.
Trustee James's point, I'm certainly not interested in stifling anyone's First Amendment rights. In fact, I think that's one of the best aspirations that universities have, to engage in civil, open-minded, open-ended debate. And certainly,
I think your comment does not reflect that, sir.
Well, we would have to disagree on that, Trustee Scott.
And I would say that disagreement will continue if you continue going down that path, as if your opinion is the most important one and the one that matters. The students are the most important factor on that campus. If they decide to have a drag show, I'm okay with that. If you have a point of that you don't want to be involved or think that's something that needs to be happening, then you don't have to go. You don't have to read it. You don't have to look at anything. You have a choice in America.
Well, let's
that
be
choice
very clear.
Is not to
Excuse
interfere
me.
With other people's rights.
And by the way, his answer on this, and I'm sympathetic to the answer he's giving, is let's make sure that we're including everybody, because sometimes the left is inclusive of only the left, right? And that's the conservative argument is, okay, let's get diversity of thought, so all thoughts. Let's get inclusion of all viewpoints, right?
Look, Trustee Scott, I certainly appreciate hearing your opinions and your input, and if we disagree, that is certainly okay. But I think it's important to clarify, because Trustee James, I don't think you were accurate when you said that, you know, the drag shows were student-led. I think in some instances that may be the case, but in some instances the university itself was co-sponsoring and promoting these shows. And if we're going to talk about having an inclusive university, if we're going to talk about having a welcoming university, then I certainly think we need to take into account how certain students, particularly religious students, may feel if they are being inundated with materials about drag shows such as Drag Me to Hell, because I think many students would frankly find that quite offensive.
And there needs to be balance and variety. And could UWF use some cultural tweaking? I think they could. You know, I've told you this before. I'll say it again. UWF is left-leaning in the culture, and there are elements of the culture that I, as a conservative Christian, would feel uncomfortable about if I had to attend there. But we sent our boys there. We have, you know, one graduate and one's there now because it's a good school. And in the grand scheme of ideology, it's far more centrist than most universities. So this is not the place to find the battle. There are many other places where you could. And as some have said, DeSantis looks like he's just trying to find a place to plant his flag, even if it's one that's unjustified. 437-1620, John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. If you are on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 5 to 7 minute delay. Also seeing some delays on Davis Highway southbound if you're headed toward Olive Road and through the hospital area. Just be advised that there's some delays there. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you love church? Ephesians 5 tells us that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Acts 20:28 says that Christ purchased the church with his blood. 1 Timothy 3 tells us that the church is the pillar and ground of truth. So obviously, the New Testament places a huge priority on the church. If you're a Christian but not a member of a local Bible preaching church, I urge you to get involved as soon as possible. You possess unique spiritual gifts that can be used within the body of believers. Hebrews 10 tells Christians to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. God wants us to worship him and provoke others to love and good works. Attend a Bible-believing church this Sunday.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
What would you say you do here?
Yeah, so this was very clearly a hostile grilling of Martha Saunders, a defend your job for us with no preparation, warning, or anything to her. Certainly not intended in any collegial way that I could discern. And it was very troubling. And again, this is coming from a conservative who kind of agrees with at least some of the criticisms. But this is definitely not how you do it. And again, you go to the Senate, you talk about how great the university is. You come here to your first approved board meeting and you just go after the president. Looks like duplicity to me. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President Trump is headed to the Middle East today for a four-day trip. The White House says he'll be going to reaffirm his commitment for a free and prosperous Middle East. Vladimir Putin is suggesting talks over the future of Ukraine, and the war there could start next week in Turkey. In an interview on ABC, a Kremlin spokesman said that Putin has been doing whatever possible to solve the issue. The announcement comes after the leaders of Britain, France, Germany, and Poland all visited Kyiv on Saturday to meet with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky.
Thanks so much, David. A UWF grad here says, I learned things and got to debate, and it was good for me.
On the road toward a permanent trade deal with China, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent in Geneva.
We do want trade. We want more balanced trade, and I think that both sides are committed to achieving that.
Tariffs on goods from China are cut to 10%, but the 20% tariff imposed on China for not doing enough to stop the flow of fentanyl to the U.S. remains in place. President Trump delivers a break to millions of Americans.
The president is signing an executive order today that is going to implement most favored nations drug pricing and is going to reduce the cost of drugs in this country by more than half at least.
White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt earlier on Fox and Friends. The president travels to Saudi Arabia today, then Qatar and the UAE. And the White House confirms Qatar is offering the U.S. a luxury 747 jet to be used as a new Air Force One, but details need to be worked out. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 at News Radio 92.3. It is a beautiful morning. We've got 68 degrees right now and sunny skies in Pensacola. The third suspect in an April homicide has been arrested. Escambia County deputies say 19-year-old Antonio Larkins was taken into custody at the end of last week. Investigators believe he initiated a drug deal that ended with the murder of 20-year-old Andrew Sanders. Larkins is believed to be a member of a prevalent gang in the area, but his actions were not gang-related that day, according to Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sanders' body was found in an abandoned vehicle. He'd been shot in the head. 21-year-old Michael Polnitz and 17-year-old Caleb Banner were also both arrested last week. Officials in Walton County say an inmate that was accused of murdering his mother and his brother last year has now died after being found unresponsive in his jail cell. Jesse Raby was found Sunday morning. He'd reportedly choked on foreign objects, such as a cloth, a sock, and pieces of toilet paper. Officials say the death appears to be a suicide. The case is pending an autopsy. Pensacola police say there have been two jugging incidents reported recently at local banks.
A suspect knows one way or the other that the victim has just withdrawn a large amount of cash from a financial institution, whether it be inside the bank or from an ATM. They then follow the victim, and once the victim stops at a second location, maybe a Walmart or a mall or someplace else, once they leave the car, the suspect then goes and knocks the window out and steals that cash.
Pensacola Police Spokesman Mike Wood, he says you should pay attention anytime you're leaving a bank. If you believe somebody is following you, call 911. Wood says an officer will get to you quickly. Wood also says investigators are still looking into how suspects are finding their targets. He says they could be watching inside the bank or from the parking lot. Well, it's back to work in Tallahassee for state lawmakers. They're still trying to hammer out a budget deal after their old deal blew up. Governor Ron DeSantis says the session is in overtime, and it's the only job lawmakers are required to do.
They don't even have a budget. I mean, literally, the session ended. They don't even have an agreement on what the level should be. They're not even close to any of this stuff.
No word yet on how long the expanded session could go. Lawmakers have approved a resolution extending it until June 6th. They may try to extend it until the end of next month. If they do, they'd have to pass the budget by June 27th and vote on it on the 30th. The Gulf Breeze Beach Volleyball team securing its second state championship. They defeated New Smyrna Beach 3-0 in the Class 2A title match May 10th. That match was held at FSU. The Dolphins saw a dominant performance from their pairs, including Izzy Beach and Cameron Ferguson, and Sydney Sutter and Allie Hepworth. Golf Breeze finished the season with a 21-3 record, also claiming the district and the regional championships. 735 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Good morning, John Pickens.
Well, good morning, David. We are seeing some delays right now on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Expect about a 10 to 12-minute delay through that construction zone and congestion. But other than that, things are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Going to be seeing a lovely day today with temperatures warming up into the upper 70s for high 79 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62. For Tuesday, 20% chance of a shower or a thunderstorm, high near 82 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 69. For Wednesday, 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 79 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 69. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It's a beautiful morning, 68 and sunny right now. Our next news at 8 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Crude oil futures have jumped 4% after the U.S. and China said they have agreed to suspend most tariffs on each other's goods for 90 days pending further negotiations. Under the agreement, the United States will reduce the tariff on Chinese imports to 30% from its current 145. Meanwhile, Beijing will cut its retaliatory levies on U.S. goods to 10% from 125. Reuters reports President Trump is preparing to accept a luxury jet from a royal family in Qatar, which he will use as Air Force One. The plane is a Boeing 747-8 jet. Many people tried to predict who the new pope would be, even putting money on it. Few expected him to be an American from Chicago. Bettors poured more than $40 million into the most recent papal conclave on just two prediction market platforms, over $30 million on Polymarket and over $10 million on Kalshi. Futures are sharply higher. The Dow up by more than 1,000 points after the U.S. and China cut tariffs. That's Your Money Now.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Absolutely tapping my toes, and I hate myself for it. 7:38 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. No, I like a lot of country. I just don't like to admit it out loud. It's more fun to be contrary. Jimmy Patronis is our congressman for Florida District 1, Northwest Florida. Congressman, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you, man. I'm just trying to figure out, was that Mexican music you were just
Zach
playing?
Brown Band. Zach Brown Band, of all things. So.
Oh, my God.
You're killing me.
I must say, I couldn't quite tell. You know, that's the name of Taco Bell Day. I don't know. So, anyway, good to be with you.
Oh, hey, you know what? We were talking briefly on the phone beforehand. I meant to ask you this. Are you on a speakerphone or earbuds or anything? Is there any way you could go on the handset? It'll be a lot clearer.
I got earbuds in. Are they bothering you?
It just sounds a lot better on the handset. Yeah, so I know. I always forget to ask, but that's and I thought of it, and then we got to talking about something else, so no worries. I know it takes a second.
Okay.
All right. Is that better?
Oh, my God, yes. So much better. Right, John? So much better? All right, good. So let's talk about this.
Hello? Hang on.
Oh, I'm echoing. Yeah. It's my fault. I've ruined
it now.
Okay,
I got you. Okay. All right. No, note to self, no more headphones.
It's fine. So the vote in the House approving the Gulf of America, you know I'm an opponent. I'm a critic. I'm not on board. But you took it one step further, which is you made an offer to the president, right?
Well, here's my deal. Look, if we're going to pass legislation like this, which we were going to pass it, then I'm going to go ahead and make the most out of it that I can. I mean, so I've already had a dialogue with the White House. They love the idea of doing a bill signing down here on you know, somewhere along the Gulf Coast. Now, will they do it or not? I don't know. But my attitude is you elected me to make the most that I can representing this part of the state. So I'm going to take every opportunity that I've got to be able to showcase Northwest Florida to Washington, D.C. I'm going to do everything possible to display what we have in our military community, our veterans community, our tourism community. And you know what? I'm sorry. When the president shows up anywhere, there are hundreds of cameras that follow him. So this is part of me. I can't get the restaurant out of me. I'm constantly promoting. I'm constantly trying to figure out how to make the customer happy and take care of the customer. And this is exactly where, you know, my head lies when it comes to legislation.
Do you, and by the way, I actually value that. I recognize that and I appreciate that. And getting the president here and the attention it would bring us, among other things, yeah, of course. I mean, I would love to see a picture of, as much as I'm opposed to the name change, a picture of the president thumbs upping in front of the sailfish sign. I mean, that's invaluable PR, man. I'll take that. Hey, is this going to pass the Senate? My read is it's not going to pass the Senate.
You know, who knows? Look, there was a number of House members that really did not want to vote for this. I get it. Some people question, is this the best use of our time in the chamber? Here's a reality that happens in Washington, D.C., and it happens in Tallahassee. Sometimes you've got to keep people busy because there's still work taking place. So we are just grinding behind the scenes on this reconciliation bill.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, just grinding. And because not everybody's sitting on a particular committee of subject matter that is dealing with the bigger numbers on it. So you've got to keep these guys active, busy. And when you get in the chamber for a vote, that's where you get a lot of work done. So even though that vote took place, there was a lot of visiting, exchanging, updates that are taking place because this is the one place we actually get to be all in the same room with each other.
We're looking at one of the big things that you guys are all working on is the tax plan. President Trump is he's been a little bit all over the board on this, including he has now at least hinted that he's open to anybody making $2.5 million or more to revert to the pre-2017 tax rate of about 40% from the current 37. You know, we're talking about that as a way of paying off and not having to, you know, finding a way to keep Medicaid at current levels. The state and local tax exemption is one that I mean, I hate that exemption because it means that people who live in big, expensive liberal states like California and New York pay less federal tax because their local tax is so high. And I think your local tax being high shouldn't get you out of paying federal taxes. We all have to pay that.
I agree. So, I mean, this is one of the problems we've got with as tight of margins as we've got now, as opposed to when the original Trump tax cuts passed.
Yeah.
We've got Republicans in New York who, you know, they get dug in. They won't vote yes, you know, unless, you know, they get a salt package that they agree to. So, I mean, so this is unfortunate. This is some of the negotiating horse trading takes place. As with what the president floated regarding the tax rate, look, I think the president uses Truth and X as a way to do a public forum. I'll just post and see what people say. I don't see the Congress having an appetite for changing those rates, but I do think the president learns by throwing out there. He's got the biggest microphone, arguably, in the world. So let's just throw it out there and let's go fishing and see what type of response I get. Let's see what I catch.
The left is, and I think you're right about that, by the way. I agree with you about that. The left is talking about this involving, you know, big cuts to, you know, entitlement programs, Medicaid in particular. I'm concerned about the child tax credit, even though we're kind of getting to where we can't claim it anymore for our kids. I think that's so useful to younger families who have kids and are usually struggling to get their life kind of going professionally. Are Medicaid cuts coming? And is the child tax credit still going to be kept? I always admire Marco Rubio for his advocacy on that issue, but you tell me, you're closer to it than I am for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think the tax credit stays in play simply because it's something that brings, I mean, it's a good issue that brings everybody to the table. So, I mean, the tax, even though the Dems, as dysfunctional and broken as they are right now as leading, you know, they at least know anything a Republican proposes is something they're going to vote no on. But when you put things out there like the tax credit, you know, now, I mean, right now you're voting against policy that benefits all Americans. So when it comes to adjustments to Medicaid, you're going to see more than likely, you'll see a work requirement in there for able-bodied men. You know what? If you're 25 years old sitting on the couch playing Xbox, you know, when you get out there, be out there having a job that provides you health insurance, we're going to start, you know, ensuring that there's a work requirement. And that's pretty much universally, even the Dems like that language. So, I mean, we're going to start forcing people to get off the couch. And if they can get a job where their health insurance can be provided, their health can be provided by a private solution, that's going to be the pathway you're going to be forced to take. We're just going to tighten our belt and make sure the Medicaid system that we have today is sustainable.
So not cuts per se, but regulations that will wind up in a reduction of spending because the regulations make sense and they currently don't. That makes more sense to me. I appreciate that. We're talking to Jimmy Patronis.
And then you've got...
Hang on for just a second, Jimmy. We're talking to Jimmy Patronis. He's our congressman. We'll be back to him in just a second. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives. John?
Brought to you by ECUA Bulk Waste Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. No accidents to report to you right now. If you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, we're seeing some delays through that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Congressman Jimmy Patronis. You were about to say, and I kind of interrupted you with traffic, so go ahead.
Yeah, no, when it comes to what somebody's going to argue, the Democrats will probably cry foul, but where you have big blue states that have become sanctuary states and they're providing Medicaid to illegals, you probably will see an adjustment when it comes to those, that if you're going to continue doing this path of providing health care to illegals, which, I mean, here's the big thing that people, you know, as the scare tactics that the left likes to do, right now, anybody and everybody who has an instant accident, needs treatment, can walk into any hospital, whether it be Ascension or Baptist or HCA, you name it, they can walk in right now and get treatment, and they have to get treatment. You know why? Because I was a part of the budget that always made sure that their charity care was always compensated for.
Right.
So, I mean, so they can squall that we're cutting them, but what we're going to do is if you're going to take that much higher reimbursement rate, and I'm getting in the weeds, then we're going to adjust your adjustment rates to make sure that those states that are playing by the book, you know, have more of a sustainable. We're going to focus on women. We're going to focus on children. We're going to focus on seniors. We're going to focus on the disabled. That's where, to me, the true mission of Medicaid really lies.
You know, I always, whenever I was talking economics in my ethics classes, I always taught my students that there are basically four kinds of people in the world. There's the wills, the won'ts, the mights, and the can'ts. You know, the people who will work no matter what, the people who won't work no matter what, the people who might work depending on the incentives, and the people who can't. And Medicaid's for the can'ts, you know? That's...
It really is.
One of the other things I wanted to ask you about, because to me it's a big deal, and it kind of went under the radar. In fact, I was surprised. I stumbled across... My wife actually told me about this, and then I went back and like, oh, that was an executive order that the president issued. We are going to move off of physical checks to and from the government in September. That means tax payments. That means Social Security payments. That means anything you do with the government will no longer be through the mail in a physical check. I know for me, like, I do not love the government having my bank account, even if all it is to, you know, deposit money, but to send them money. I'm uncomfortable about it. And I know it's for fraud defense and some other things, but this is a very interesting, because there are going to be a lot of people that are going to be surprised by this and are not going to be super happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking a little bit before the show. I said, man, my 90-year-old mother, She only knows how to pay things by writing a check.
Right.
So, you know, there's definitely going to be a generational challenge where they're going to need to have to go to Publix and do an electronic transfer or, you know, but what you will see, you also see the market come to meet those consumers in a way where they can dumb it down. You'll see the financial institutions or banks will be more aggressive about accommodating, because every time that a financial institution can get a customer to come in the door is an opportunity for them to sell a new service. So, you know, I think you will see technology come to that customer that is challenged. And the other thing you have is you're going to have those that pay significant amount in taxes. They like having, you know, that 4 to 7 day float on a check being in the mail, especially when interest rates are where they're at right now. It'll be bumpy, but at the end of the day, it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, and I totally understand the idea about the mail loses things. The mail is slow. The physical cost of processing the checks. I mean, I think back to the examples,
100%.
You know, of the mine shaft of the employment records. You know, like like all of that stuff. It's, you know, I think we're probably going to save a lot of money doing it this way. It just makes me feel nervous because either I'm old or, you know, whatever. I know people do everything on their phones these days and they don't think about it the same way I do. I did want to briefly give you an opportunity to talk about something that your office has put an alert on, is home deed fraud protection and prevention. Now, I know your background is a CFO here in Florida, but you're taking that to the Congress as well. It's scary stuff to think about people, you know, not, you know, identity thieving basically by doing stuff to your home deed, right? To your home ownership.
Yes. I mean, and I still, I told the team the other day, I said, look, I can't turn off my consumer protection hat off. I've been doing it for the last 8 years. This is real. And it plays in the title insurance space also. But like right now, my wife and I are under contract to buy a place in the district. Everything we've done has been totally electronically via email. Everything we've signed, total electronically with email. I have not sat and talked to anyone face to face. And I'm about to purchase a property in the district.
Wow!
So that's a lot of trust. And so then, how do we have checks and balances to ensure that ultimately somebody's home is not being sold from under them?
Right.
So this is why we just like to create those alerts, you know. And look, some of these credit monitoring systems, they're not a must have. But here's something I tell people. You know, the credit rating agencies, we give them a lot of a leeway, but they have to provide you a credit report, a detailed one, every single year at no cost to you. It is worth, if you haven't done it, go to Experian, go to one of those guys, and sign up and get your credit report. And know it, don't sign up for any extra services. You don't have to, but get your credit report and just look at it. Look at what's been going on, and there will be surprising events that are on your credit report that you didn't even know about. And sometimes it's just because somebody has the exact same name you've got or a similar name, but you can see where your credit was accessed. And then you get to see where some of the vulnerabilities are.
You know what I wonder, seeing this release from your office made me think about, I wonder if there's an opportunity for, I don't know, I was thinking about some kind of a federal database, the way we do for criminal background checks, or maybe like a two-factor authentication for, you know, any real estate transaction where they, you know, your phone is attached to your deed and they just, I mean, it seemed like there's an opportunity for something that would enhance the security of these things. I mean, I hate two-factor authentication,
yeah,
but I'd be glad to put it on my house deed. You know what I mean?
So when you go and you access your online credit, there's a feature on there. I'm so glad you brought this up. There's a feature on there where you can freeze your credit. And what that simply means is whenever somebody wants to access your credit, then you get a phone call and you must say, yes, I will authorize my credit being accessed for review. So that feature, it's a free call. We actually, when I was in CFO, the state of Florida used to allow the credit agency to charge you $10 for that, and we got rid of that fee altogether. We said, no, if someone wants to freeze their credit, you're not going to charge them to freeze their credit. So anyway, but you can go onto those credit websites. You know, you can freeze your credit. You put your information there, and they will contact you anytime somebody's trying to access your information. So it's actually a great safeguard. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Is there any way to shape that so that it could be limited to real estate only freeze? You know, that because it seems like such a specific problem with such a huge consequence if it goes awry.
Well, and again, I don't know the types of guardrails you can put in off the top of my head.
Sure,
but
sure.
I'm sure you can put a dollar threshold, which would trigger that type of transaction. But you also have there's products out there that will guard your title. That'll do the exact same thing. If your title is being accessed, you will get notification. You know, I think some of this stuff is a way to you can overkill with belts and suspenders.
Agreed.
But if you've been a victim, then there's probably no price that is too much for you to ensure it never happens again.
Yeah, exactly. The as you say, the cost is so high. Jimmy Petronas, our congressman for District 1, sir. Again, thank you so much for the time. It's really good having these conversations with you, and I look forward to talking to you again next week.
All right, take care. Thank you all.
Absolutely. 7:55 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Still rolling accident-free right now if you're traveling on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone. You're going to experience about a 5 to 7 minute delay there. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Speaking of homes, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty has outstanding experience of, you know, solving your problems, getting your questions answered, getting you all the way through to closing, you know, just making sure that everything is right. They sell 165 homes last year, 175 the year before that, over 200 when times are easy, you know, when it was very, very easy to sell homes. It was still beneficial to have them because they could get you the best price. But now, when it's harder, even more valuable to have a good real estate agent who really understands the market, what it's doing, and can help you through it. Because, you know, now is the time when better staging or better photos or better listing or better open house practices or all the things they do make a big difference, whether you get no offers, one offer, or multiple offers. And some homes now are getting multiple offers. Not all, okay, but some are. And they know how to make that more likely. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
Hi, this is Adana from Mathnasium. Mathnasium is thrilled to join the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9. If you have school-aged kids, you won't want to miss this. Whether your child is catching up, keeping up, or ready to get ahead, Mathnasium has a solution tailored just for them. We're not just teaching math, we're changing lives through it. I can't wait to dive into the world of Mathnasium with you on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Monsieur Neri, please, one more question. N'avez-vous pas fait récemment une rencontre?
Have you recently had a close encounter?
Une rencontre plutôt inhabituelle?
A close encounter with something very unusual.
Who are you people?
Who are you people? 7:59 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
And good morning, Andrew. Russian President Vladimir Putin suggesting that talks over the future of the Ukraine war could start next week in Turkey. He did an interview on ABC's This Week. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov did the interview on ABC, and he said that those talks could start in Turkey as soon as next week. Several federal judges getting unwanted pizzas delivered to their homes, Andrew. This trend started in February. The number of unsolicited pizza deliveries are now in the hundreds. Listen on.